Good morning and welcome to Radio Oprah on CIUT 89.5 FM. In the history of this planet, as the diseases of colonization and capitalism spread, the resulting increase in poverty and oppression, the enforcement of dangerous and inhumane working conditions, and a changed diet from traditional whole foods to refined flours and sugars, had the combined effects of deteriorating the health of the population, particularly in the so-called civilized world. The physical, emotional, and spiritual health of the people plummeted. As the monster capitalism grew, so too did the need to control the population to better exploit it as a profit generator. The institution of psychiatry came along to deal with abnormal and bizarre behavior which didn't comply with the new social and economic order. This true political purpose hidden behind the supposed authority and objectivity of medicine. Psychiatry allows a society that professes to be progressive and civilized to impose and reinforce conformity, severely punishing those who do not or will not fit into the necessary role of profit-generating labor unit. And it further arms the state with mental and chemical weaponry with which it can experiment on people, destroy revolutionary leaders and movements, and impose social stigma, all elements potent enough to keep many but not all of us in line. Some of the first instances of the incarceration of those deemed to have mental illnesses occurred in the late 17th century, as church and state shifted from torturing and killing in public those who threatened the growing control of these institutions, who called them heretics and witches then, to locking them up out of the public view to experiment on and control society's undesirable. The first institution in Paris at the time detained folks under 25 for laziness, fatigue, debauchery, and parental displeasure. To be incarcerated, it took only complaints from parents, relatives, or priests. Wet nurses and babies, pregnant youth, seniors, folks with epilepsy, and prostitutes were imprisoned. In short, anyone the state wanted out of sight and off the streets. Critic Dr. Thomas Szasz writes, "In more than 20 years of psychiatric work, I have never known a clinical psychologist to report, on the basis of a projective test, that the subject is a normal, mentally healthy person. While some witches may have survived dunking, no madman survives psychological testing. There is no behavior or person that a modern psychiatrist cannot plausibly diagnose as abnormal or ill." Those who molded and profited from the creation of the mental illness industry were and are more ridiculous and fraudulent than even their devilish cohorts in the medical industry. In 1710, an anonymous clergyman and physician came up with an explanation for the new ills in folks that were labeled madness. He declared that the cause was onanism, or masturbation. This absurd and repressive thinking was embraced immediately. Dr. Benjamin Rush, signer of the U.S. Declaration of Independence and father of American psychiatry, stated that masturbation produced impotence, painful urination, locomotor incoordination, tuberculosis, dyspepsia, dimness of sight, vertigo, epilepsy, hypochondriasis, loss of memory, menalgia, fatuity, and death. While the ludicrous masturbation madness idea continued for hundreds of years and condoned the incarceration, drugging, and restraining of those diagnosed, as well as a number of horrific genital mutilating surgeries, not surprisingly, it is rarely ever mentioned by the psychiatric industry when it tells its own sordid story. One of the contemporary cornerstones of psychiatry has a more scientific-sounding name, but the same fraudulent history. In 1911, Eugene Bleuler coined the term schizophrenia to replace dementia praecox, or precocious madness, so-called as the symptoms were seen to occur in younger people. This new idea caught on quickly, as did the rush to come up with increasingly barbaric methods to cure this arbitrary created illness. In 1935, Egas Meniz created the prefrontal lobotomy, surgical incision into the brain. A growing list of chemical and surgical treatments for schizophrenia today ensure that the public stays convinced that this terrible, dangerous illness warrants this inhumanity, and that doctors and pharmaceutical companies keep getting richer. We have been tricked into believing that schizophrenia, like many other so-called mental illnesses, is a naturally occurring biological dysfunction in increasing numbers of the population. While the truth is that the enormous investment into the investigation of the biological basis of schizophrenia has produced no conclusive information. What has been proven and subsequently ignored and suppressed by the psychiatric industry is that the stated symptoms of schizophrenia are similar to those found in folks whose systems can't handle sugar, and that glucose tolerance tests given to folks so diagnosed showed this to be true. Changes in diet that eliminated sugar and refined foods were shown to alleviate many of the so-called symptoms. But, as always, with industries that rely on our ill health to maintain profits, information that will make us well is hidden or destroyed, and the drugs and treatments that prolong our dependence on doctors and keep us paying for the abuse are shoved down our throats. Evidence of the power and smothering presence of pharmaceutical companies is everywhere, from Frankenfoods to the high-speed assembly line of drugs for everything from PMS to hyperactive children to acne to limp dicks. Pharmaceutical companies control media, influence government, fund research by scientists to say their poisons are safe, and fuel legislation that allows gross human rights violations, all in the pursuit of profits and social control. This corporate drugging knows no limits, as the growing unholy marriage between the prison industry and the pharmaceutical industry illustrates. It seems the increasing practice of forced medicating and psychiatrizing of prisoners isn't enough, as prison corporations eye the bigger bucks to be made in running mental institutions as well. A recent newspaper article states, "Faced with a declining crime rate, poor stock performance, and bad publicity, private U.S. companies that operate some prisons are shifting their focus to drug treatment and rehabilitation to boost both revenue and their image. And while measures in California and New York calling for drug treatment instead of prisons for first-time offenders puts further pressure on prison companies, the companies see it as a new opportunity. Corrections Corporation of America and Wackenhut Corporations continue to operate mostly prisons, but they are also moving towards mental hospitals and substance abuse clinics. Cornell Costs, Inc., already heavily focused on drug treatment, has plans to open more high schools for juvenile delinquents. In a move that illustrates the new trends, prison operators set up the Association of Private Correctional and Treatment Organizations in May and chose Logan, whose company operates many more treatment facilities than prisons, as its head. Analysts say the new approach should eventually pay off for the industry, which has had a rough ride since its inception in the 1980s. Quote, "You don't have to build an entire prison for a drug treatment program, so they will have lower capital costs," end quote, said Jim McDonald, who follows Wackenhut Corrections for First Analysis in Chicago. "My outlook is pretty favorable." Wackenhut Corrections, which is 57% owned by security firm Wackenhut Corp., is branching out specifically in the area of psychiatric care and mental health. Wackenhut opened a 520-bed facility in Kyle, Texas, for drug treatment, and recently the 350-bed South Florida State Hospital. Wackenhut Corrections Vice Chairman and CEO George Zoli said he expects 20% to 30% of overall revenues eventually to come from mental health and drug treatment correctional facilities. Correction Corp. of America, the biggest prison operator with 61,000 beds in 65 facilities, is still reeling from a breakout by six prisoners from Youngstown, Ohio in 1998, and is trying to sell off or fill its empty facilities and reduce its debt. "We will be looking at other services our industry can provide," said Corrections Corporation Chief Executive John Ferguson. "We've developed a good substance abuse treatment program called Lifeline, and we're looking at the aging population and the mental health field as potential areas to expand." Cornell, in addition to operating 9 adult prisons, has 38 juvenile facilities, including 8 accredited high schools and 21 pre-release facilities. In early June, the Arkansas Division of Youth Services awarded Cornell a contract to take over a 134-bed youth facility. The horrors these money-hungry beasts enact behind prisons and hospitals and mental institution walls, from physical assault and restraint, the use of brain-killing drugs and electroshock therapies, have their oppressive counterparts on the streets and in communities. Police, doctors, and courts have nearly unlimited powers in harassing, assaulting, and kidnapping folks who have been diagnosed but are currently living outside institutions. Community treatment orders mean that parents can be forced to have their children take mind-altering drugs like Ritalin or Prozac, that anyone can be picked up off the street and incarcerated solely on a psychiatrist's or doctor's orders, and that persons prescribed meds can be visited daily to ensure that they're taking the poisons prescribed and forced to take them if they haven't voluntarily. Socialized ignorance and fear of all so-called mental illness means that as a society, we accept that unarmed people like Edmund New or Otto Voss can be killed by police for being crazy, and that hundreds of thousands more can be oppressed and dehumanized daily for not maintaining the robotic, TV-land behavior and lifestyle this system needs to keep us docile and distracted, and therefore more easily controlled and exploited. But the same formula that sees resistance to oppression growing even as the powers of evil hone their brutal tactics is in effect against the psychiatric industry. Psychiatric consumers and survivors and their allies are resisting and exposing this barbaric giant. The anti-psychiatry movement is growing, and today on Radio Oprah, we bring you the voices of some of its hardest-working activists.